There are people in this world, and I hate to bring this up, but there are people who don't like Miss Piggy because they think that she's physically and emotionally abusive to a frog puppet. According to this reading of The Muppet Show, Miss Piggy sexually harasses her boss. She gaslights him into believing they're in a romantic relationship. She makes him live in constant fear of physical harm. And in general, she does not leave the lizard alone. This is not my reading, and I'll tell you why. Miss Piggy is a mythological trickster figure, like Loki or Reiner the Fox or Groucho Marx. And what tricksters do is they live on the outside edges of the culture and they do stuff that people aren't supposed to do. Bugs Bunny tricks Yosemite Sam into blowing himself up. Lucy pulls the football away from Charlie Brown. You're not supposed to imitate those things. They're fables about the frustration of powerlessness and taking that frustration and turning it into power. And we shouldn't throw those stories away. We need those. The trickster takes our world and disrupts it, turning it upside down and enabling us to see it in a different way. And today on the podcast, we're going to talk about how Miss Piggy left the Muppet Theater and invented new forms of personal expression that upended the traditional power structure. And she did it out in the real world in front of a whole bunch of people.
I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing I've plenty of, baby.
Kissy, kissy, and welcome to another episode of the Fantastic Miss Piggy podcast. I'm Danny Horn, and this podcast chronicles my journey to learn everything there is to know about that divine swine, the incomparable Miss Piggy. Today on the show, we are talking about some of Miss Piggy's earliest appearances on other people's television shows in 1977 and 1978, which I think define who this character is going to be when she's out in the world. And joining me to talk about this fascinating subject is the utterly superb Becca Petunia from the gorgeous Muppet fan site Tough Pigs and the delightful Muppet Quiz Show podcast Hubba Wah. Becca, welcome to the show.
Hi, Danny. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you here.
It's a pleasure. You know, there's nothing I love more than talking about Muppets.
You want to tell me a little bit about Hubba Wah?
Sure. So, well, I write for Tough Pigs and do other stuff for Tough Pigs as well. And I'm sure you'll have mentioned what Tough Pigs is by then. Everybody knows. But Hubba Wah is a podcast I host for Tough Pigs. It's a Muppet quiz show. I ask guests questions, difficult trivia questions about different Muppet productions from throughout history. And everybody just has a good time answering questions, talking about trivia, and winning fabulous prizes. And to see who's this week's toughest pig.
And it's very funny. I've been on the show a couple of times and have really loved it.
Well, thank you. I always love having you, Danny.
Here at the top of the show, I'd like to take a minute to say nice things about Miss Piggy. I feel like every podcast should do this. It's surprising, actually, how rare it is on podcasts to say, like, hey, let's start out by saying nice things about Miss Piggy.
If Serial started that way, do you think they would have figured out if Adnan was guilty or not sooner?
I think it would only be the polite thing to do, really, considering her preeminence in popular culture, like for love it or leave it. They're like, so let's just start out. Let's take a minute. So, Becca, can you tell me one of the ways that Miss Piggy has made your life better and happier?
Miss Piggy has made my life better and happier by being seriously an incredibly wonderful, funny, and talented force for joy on the TV and movie screen. I mean, literally, Frank Oz as Miss Piggy, especially in these early days, which I know is what we're going to be talking about today, It's some of the most brilliant, brilliant comedy. And it really does inspire me to think about just sort of the way to set up a joke and a theme and the way to sort of create a character that can change on a dime and all of these different things. And, you know, I think that we could all stand to learn a little bit from Miss Piggy in that way.
I wasn't sure whether to, like, send that along first.
I hope I did okay.
No, that was perfect. You were perfect. And now...
Because, you know, I have complicated feelings about Miss Piggy. Mm-hmm. And the complicated feelings are tied into the fact that I think Miss Piggy is an amazing character in the 70s and the early 80s,
Yes.
who has completely not figured out what it looks like to be a character in the 90s and the aughts and the 2010s and the 2020s, especially what it is to be a character when Frank Oz wants to be doing other things that aren't Miss Piggy. And I think that it really leads to this weird situation where I want to love Piggy more than I often do. And then whenever I watch a 70s thing like you had me doing,
right,
or an early 80s thing like you had me doing, I'm like, oh no, I do love Miss Piggy. Oh no, Miss Piggy is wonderful. I love Miss Piggy. And then, you know, you start to think about like Muppets Now or even like Muppets Tonight. And it's like, I don't
where she has
love
changed.
Miss Piggy. I don't love Miss Piggy. So I need to get in the right mindset. And I'm so glad that you shared these clips that helped me stay in the right mindset. And the mindset of Miss Piggy is really phenomenal.
Well, it is okay. That's very, super interesting to know. It is actually okay for you to express complicated feelings about Miss Piggy, just because I start out by insisting that everybody talk about how great she is. It is okay to make, in fact, that is what I'm looking for, is to make this more complicated.
I think any great artist like Miss Piggy, any great artist has had their career ups and downs. And, you know, you can't name a single performer who hits home runs all the time. And so, yes, I do think Miss Piggy's early work is better. I feel very similarly about Miss Piggy as I do to Elvis Costello, in that I really prefer those first couple of albums. And then I get kind of tired of him.
Yeah.
So in a way, Miss Piggy is exactly the same as Elvis Costello.
Kind of an Elvis Costello figure for you. All right, let's explore this. Today, we're going to talk about some of Piggy's earliest appearances on talk shows and variety shows. And we're doing that because I think it's essential for understanding how this character developed and what she brings to our culture. So far on the podcast, we talked about the first season of The Muppet Show and Pigs in Space in the second season as the show was defining her character. But it's here in the special appearances where she goes outside the specific context of the Muppet Theater and starts interacting with the real world as if she's a real person. As like I said, like when we're familiar with, you know, all of the later appearances and later work that Miss Piggy has done, she's always appearing sort of on her own. But in a couple of these, she's appearing on stage with the puppeteer sitting in the room with her. In 1974 and 75, Jim Henson sort of pioneered this. He appeared several times on The Tonight Show where he would sit on the couch and talk to Johnny Carson. And then he'd also have a puppet on his arm, like Kermit or Dr. Teeth. And both Henson and the puppet would have a conversation with the host. And this is something special that the Muppets can do, which is not really available to other make-believe characters. Like if you imagine like a sitcom, if you imagine Archie Bunker comes, you know, Carol O'Connor comes and sits down on the couch and like, and he's going to talk as if he is the character. Now, the actual earliest appearances that I know about, unfortunately, I don't have. The first ones are Kermit and Miss Piggy. They appeared on The Today Show talking to Gene Shalit in August 1977 and again in September 1977. Those are Piggy's earliest appearances that I know about. And if anybody has them, I would love to see them. This is my manifesting that in the world. But right after that, on September 22nd, 1977, Jim Henson and Frank Oz appear on The Russell Hardy Show in the UK. Russell Hardy is an interesting chap. He was an interviewer who burned very brightly for about 15 years on ITV. He was involved with a couple of award-winning documentaries, and then he got his own show on ITV in 1972, and that is where we find him. What he does on his show is he does lengthy interviews with big stars, and by this point, the Muppets are definitely big stars. It's after the first season, so September 1977, first season of The Muppet Show has aired in the UK, was an enormous success. At this point, they've taped the first half of the second season, but the viewers haven't seen the second season yet. That's going to premiere next week. Becca, do you have like a general impression of this Russell Hardy appearance?
First of all, it's terrific. Like, I know nothing about Russell Hardy beyond these appearances. He's really funny. And I think that he's a charming interviewer. And, you know, I get why he was so popular. But, you know, I also get why Kermit and Miss Piggy are very popular. I don't know if you know this, but they're very, very funny in this.
They are very funny.
What's interesting to me is the idea, like you said, that this appears before season two premiered. Mm-hmm. Because again, as a student of Muppet history, it really is remarkable how quickly Miss Piggy sort of rose to this superstar level. Mm-hmm. Because boy, at the beginning of season one, she really, I wouldn't call her nothing. And certainly yeah. she wouldn't like me to call her that. And she's got eyes and ears everywhere. But
she's just part of the background, really.
But she's more of a background character. I mean, I feel like there's as many Hilda plot lines mm-hmm. in season one as there are Miss Piggy plot lines in season one. And yet there's something about her that really is definitely exciting to audiences. And you hear it. You hear people in the audience cheer when Miss yes. Piggy appears. Mm-hmm. People really respond to Miss Piggy. One of the things that I've noticed, and you know, I don't know if you want to like go through play by play what happens in this before I get into my deep thoughts on this.
Let's do some play by play.
Okay.
So the way that the appearance works is that first it's Jim Henson and Frank Oz talking to Russell Hardy about the show before they bring any puppets up. And Frank Oz starts messing around right away. One of the early things that happens is Russell is asking about how much fun they have on the Muppet Show set.
One of the astonishing things that both of you do, is actually make everybody else who's working with you enjoy it. There are hoots of laughter and screams of laughter in the studio. Is that not very off-putting for what is considered to be a high professional engagement?
It's a great fallacy. No one really has any fun on our show. I just think it's time we accept this as the truth. Jim and I really don't like each other.
You've worked together for 14 years, 17 years, 14
yes,
years.
Yes, he's getting 14. On my nerves.
Right. And you chose tonight to make this public, indeed.
It had yes. to happen sometimes. I'm sorry you had to be involved.
Russell's asking these long-winded questions with a lot of synonyms and subclauses, and he says, what kind of discussion are we having now? And Frank says, dull. Which just like cracks everybody up and everyone gets into it. And then they're all sort of playing on how dull this appearance is.
Which is such a Miss Piggy joke already. And mm-hmm. and Miss Piggy will play. You can tell at that moment, Frank figured out a comedic in on this interview show. And when mm-hmm. he brings out Piggy shortly after, he rolls with that sort of like targeting synonyms and overblown words mm-hmm. and when people say things that are more long-winded than they should be as kind of like one of Piggy's dominant jokes of this appearance.
And that's yeah, Frank is he is there to call everyone out. Basically, Frank just hates being bored and he will do almost anything to stir up trouble and make something happen. Jim brings Kermit up and Frank brings up Fozzie. They do a real good job with the cameras of when the puppets are up, they just have the puppets in the frame and they cut out Jim and Frank. So it's just now at this point, it's like just Kermit and Russell and Fozzie. Do you have any thoughts on the Kermit Fozzie?
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, we do see, and this is not the fantastic Fozzie Bear podcast or, hey, you can podcast as funnily as Fozzie Bear. That's a good name for a Fozzie Bear history podcast. Anyone's free to take that. But it's interesting to see the way that the Kermit Fozzie relationship has kind of evolved mm-hmm. because there is this conversation here of like, you know, if you're moving on to season two of The Muppet Show, Kermit, why didn't you fire Fozzie?
Right. Have you thought about getting rid of him and finding somebody new?
It is a more or less embarrassing question, but actually, Fozzie will be with us this coming season. We'll be happy to hear that.
Thank you.
Fozzie's going to be with us. I did, during the interim in between these two seasons, I did wander around and I did interview various and sundry. I auditioned a lot of comedians.
You did?
Yes. I auditioned a Wolverine, for instance.
What does a Wolverine look like?
Well, he was a
forget
sort of,
that. Was he funny?
He was hilarious. Oh, this was one of the funniest. You did a stand-up Wolverine joke.
Why didn't you hire the Wolverine?
Well, actually, the truth of it was he wouldn't work for the kind of money we pay you. Oh.
I do feel like post-Muppet movie, mm-hmm. it would be hard to have Kermit be this dismissive of Fozzie Bear. And I think there was definitely this sense, you know, of early Fozzie being a little more like obsequious to a boss as opposed mm-hmm. to obsequious to a friend that
right.
you kind of see in the second half of the Muppet Show and in the current day. I think it is important, and this is not, hey, you can podcast as funnily as Fozzie Bear, but you see a little bit too where, like, I think modern Fozzie is kind of lacking in the humility that we see Fozzie displaying here.
Right. Yeah.
Where this
where he actually thinks that he is a big star ultimately. If you talk to him now.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, these jokes are so funny.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, they're not. And like, this is kind of like Fozzie knows that he's on thin ice.
Yeah.
And he just wants to be loved, but he knows he's on thin ice. And I think that makes him a lot less annoying here mm-hmm. and a lot more likable here. But again, I'm not here to give my hot Fozzie Bear takes.
But this is sort of, it's early for all of these characters kind of taking these relationships out on the road and Kermit actually like interacting with Fozzie outside the show. And Russell is, this a thing that I just really like about his approach. He is going to stir the pot. He has questions specifically designed to upset them. So he asks Kermit, have you thought about getting rid of Fozzie? And he also asks Kermit if he's jealous of Robin's hit record.
Yes. Yes. I forgot about that because I didn't write it down because this wasn't
the Robin podcast. The halfway down the stairs, a Robin podcast. Yeah. So he asks Kermit if he will answer a very private and a very personal question. And the way he says it is a little strange.
Get down to it.
How
how difficult with it, just spit it out.
How difficult is it for you to contain or take on board in your new series, Miss Piggy?
How difficult is it for you to contain or take on board in your new series, Miss Piggy?
I had no idea what that means.
It's hard to tell.
Danny, I'm an English major. I have a master's degree from Columbia University. I had no idea what that meant.
He was a very famous interviewer in the UK, despite the fact that I will pull out several sound clips from this where he's speaking in a very odd way.
Is it that I'm not British? Is it that I'm
born and raised
in New York City?
1977 in the UK was just a different world from the one that you and I live in. So Piggy comes up. One thing that I think is interesting here is she comes up and she says kissy kissy to everybody as she kind of comes on stage.
Kissy kissy. Hello, Russell.
Hello, Miss Piggy.
How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm just fine.
I believe this is actually the first time that Piggy uses kissy kissy to say both hello and goodbye.
Is this the first time she says kissy kissy?
She says it on season one. She uses it like a couple of times as a term of endearment.
In
season two, she says kissy kissy to the audience when they're applauding. And she says kissy kissy as she leaves. This is the first time, I believe, and I would love it if people can prove me wrong, but I believe this is the first time that it's used like aloha or shalom. But there is an actual live audience here applauding for her. And Frank wants that audience to have a good time. So here's where they're going to act out sort of the general all-purpose frog and pig interaction. This is, again, really like the first time that they're going to do a bit that will last them for until the rest of time.
Actually, it would be very nice if you would not ask about our personal relationship. There's no relationship between us, and I would prefer not to answer any questions regarding our relationship.
But you just about 3 minutes ago, before Miss Piggy arrived, said that you would, and now you're turning in completely the other
Russell,
direction.
Russell.
Yes, Miss Piggy.
He protests too much.
there's nothing between us. There's nothing between us. Anything that you see on television as I talk to her, that is our entire relationship, and nothing else happens And
not
I
when
would
the theatre door is closed, not when it's all over, nothing else comes. I think you're asking a lot of us to ask us to believe
deeply,
that.
Deeply shy. Deeply, deeply wants me. We know, don't we, girls?
What a like get the crowd going line.
Yes.
To specifically call out the girls. That always works in a live appearance. You are always going to get
he's going for the laugh line.
A solid half of the audience screaming when you say that.
And one thing that I think is funny is that Kermit is kind of, when he says anything you see on television, that is our entire relationship. He's basically saying, yo, I'm a fictional character. I'm on a television show. This is not a thing that people usually say to you, but he's saying I'm a fictional character. And Russell is asking, like, not even when the theater door is closed, not when it's all over. Because Russell believes in the Muppets more than the Muppets do, apparently.
Kermit might as well say, I go into a duffel bag.
I'm a puppet. You get that, right? But Piggy really is then kind of inventing this entire off-screen life that happens when the theater door is closed. Like, that is, I think, a very important thing that Piggy does, is that she fantasizes her own off-screen storyline that I think kind of actually gives the Muppets that broader sense of reality.
Well, I mean, listen, not to psychoanalyze, mm-hmm. you know,
please do that.
These famous puppeteers, but like, is it in? Yes, it's in The Wisdom of Big Bird, the mm-hmm. Carol Spinney memoir, that Carol recounts a story where he had met Jim Henson, and like, Jim was performing with Ernie and then kind of just threw Ernie on the ground and like kind of like kicked him and kept walking.
Yeah.
And Carol picked up Ernie and like apologized to him. And Jim was like, Carol, they're just tools. They're tools right. that help us perform, but they're not
people.
They're not people.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, even if you go all the way back, like, where Jim saw puppetry sort of as a means to an end. And look, mm-hmm. Jim was a deeply talented puppeteer. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I was talking to a friend of mine. I was talking to a friend of mine, Staff Shear, puppeteer Staff Shear, about this. And I truly believe we were both talking about this, that Jim really did love puppetry, even if he often would say in interviews that it was just a means to an end. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there wasn't as much in the way of Jim Henson thinking about, like, well, what does Kermit do when the
right.
when the show is over? Whereas Frank was so much, and I'm sure you'll explore this on the podcast, was so much about, like, what is Miss Piggy's deal? Where did she come right. from? And, like, mm-hmm. what are her aspirations and her goals?
Yeah.
Whereas Kermit very much, there never really was a sense of that beyond, you know, there'd be some swamp related jokes, mm-hmm. but you couldn't quite pin down this, like, what does Kermit
want yeah.
the same way?
Yeah.
And certainly that's one of even, you know, and if you listen to the Tough Pigs podcast, moving right along, specifically the Muppet movie season, mm-hmm. it feels like that was something that they almost struggled with when writing the script of the Muppet movie, was like, what does Kermit want out of going to Hollywood? Mm-hmm. And yeah. in the original script, it was, you know, like making lots of money and being rich and famous. And in a rewrite, they changed it to making people happy, which I think is the right move.
Yeah.
But it feels like if this was about Miss Piggy, Frank would have a much more definite answer and wouldn't have mm-hmm. needed to even get to a second draft.
Right. Like, because it really would have been all about just like, no, she actually just wants to be famous.
Yeah.
She wants everyone to love her.
But Frank knows this character, and Frank mm-hmm. does think about, what does she do when she is not on stage at the Muppet Theater?
And something that I think is so interesting is not only that Frank is thinking about that, but that Miss Piggy has a life outside the theater and also fantasizes a life that's even beyond that. She's doing both of those things at the same time. Russell asks about Miss Piggy's trip into space. They're promoting Pigs in Space for the second season. And this is how the show is going to elevate Miss Piggy to a more consistent role.
Are you looking forward to your trip into space? Because you're going to be on the spacecraft, aren't you?
Yes, well, that is my new role on the show.
What do you wear in the spacecraft?
Well, I wear a cute little number. Yes! I wear this little, it's got a little zip, little lightning right in front of it. And it shows off my best features.
Could you enumerate?
It has
your
a
best?
Very high collar, though.
Yes. Could you enumerate your best features?
No, but I could tell you them.
What are they?
Well, I'm deeply sensitive.
Of course you are.
And I'm built. You know what built is? I mean, you can see.
Yes, right.
The way she says, I'm built, I lost it. This is my favorite. This is my favorite line. Her delivery of,
yeah,
and built is so good. And I'll tell you, you know, again, I was watching this here at my desk. And when she said that, I pulled out my headphones and I called my spouse over. And I was like, you have to see this. Right. Like, this is good.
And let's talk about, like, the gender expression here, because this is kind of key to Piggy and her appeal is this assertion both of hyper-femininity, but then it's kind of like backed up with this deeper masculine voice that comes through with I'm built.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's nothing that I have more deep feelings about than gender. Mm-hmm. And I think it really is interesting, you know, the idea of Miss Piggy as this kind of drag performance, and like, honestly, the longest running drag character in history. And I would call Miss Piggy a drag character.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
yes.
Miss Piggy is, you know, the thing about drag, right? And what makes drag different than being a trans woman like I am,
right,
is drag is about a sort of like over the top, almost like parody of femininity. And you can do drag and still also be able to care about femininity on a more level day-to-day sense. But like, when I go about my day-to-day, I don't wear a feather boa and purple right. gloves, and I don't yell kissy kissy every time I enter a room
right.
and flirt with every man that I see. Mm-hmm. I just go about my day normally.
You have things to do. Yeah.
I have things to do. And, you know, I like to remain professional in the workplace.
Yeah.
But Miss Piggy is a drag character. And we see this really fun way that Frank plays with both the feminine side and the masculine side, that again comes through from sort of like knowing that this is a parody of femininity,
right?
And knowing that this is like, Frank is not trying to play, as much as he's thinking about Miss Piggy as a real person, he's also not trying to play Miss Piggy as a quote unquote real person, just going about her day and going to the office like I do, you know, like.
Yeah, like you say, she's a drag character rather than a female character, really. That this is a performance of femininity.
One of the things that really shone through as well, and one of the reasons why, like I was saying, 70s Miss Piggy is better than modern Miss Piggy. And there's so many reasons. And let me be clear, Eric Jacobson, wonderful performer, wonderful guy.
Doing a different performance.
Is doing a different performance. The Frank Oz Piggy is more my cup of tea. And honestly, I bet Eric Jacobson would say the same thing if we had him yes. on the show right now.
Yeah.
But I truly feel like during this era, and we see this with Russell Hardy, we see this with Bob Hope, we see this with Mr. Parkinson, Miss Piggy was doing this drag performance, this exaggerated femininity. But any human being in the presence of Miss Piggy accepted the show and instantly went in on the fiction, right?
Yes.
There's no point where Russell Hardy says, no, you're not built,
right.
and no, you're not a sex object or any of those things. Russell Hardy is in on the drag performance too, right?
Yeah, he
loves it. Which is kind of the thing about drag as well, is mm-hmm. like it requires the audience buy-in as well, right?
Right, right.
During the drag show, you are believing in the sort of hyper-fictionalized sense of femininity that's present on stage.
Mm-hmm.
That was the case here, right?
Right.
Russell is fully in on the joke, right? Russell gets this parody of femininity. Russell gets that just as he wouldn't insult any other woman on his show and say that she wasn't attractive or anything like that, he also can't do that to Piggy.
He does towards the end, and we'll get there. He has a couple moments because he wants to set up the karate chop.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Which is a huge thing.
You do know what I'm saying. Though,
I absolutely
right?
do. Like, yeah. No. But he absolutely addresses her as the beautiful superstar that she is.
And that makes Miss Piggy funnier if she is in her own sort of world and inviting us all to come into this world,
mm-hmm.
even if it is so readily apparent that the femininity of Miss Piggy is an over the top parody and not like a subtle realistic like this is what Frank Oz thinks women are like, right? Again,
well,
it
may be that,
yes, but also
in a way that even he, I believe, acknowledged was an interesting view of women. So one thing that Piggy does is they do a little bit around Kermit being jealous.
You all make a very good couple over there. I was just noticing.
Kermit. Hey. Why did you leave the studio? Why did I have to come here separately? Why did you? You said that. What is it?
I was riding in a little car and I didn't have room, so it was okay. Possibly, you might be able to give her a ride home. Would you like to give Piggy a ride home? You two make a very lovely couple.
And the thing that I think is important is Piggy always has a storyline. That this is different from like when Frank was doing Fozzie earlier. Fozzie didn't really have very much to do. He didn't have like a joke prepared. He didn't have a story. Miss Piggy creates these storylines all the time. And just being Miss Piggy coming out on stage automatically has some storylines built in.
Frank recognizes the ways in which Miss Piggy can poke at the seams of a situation
mm-hmm.
and create interesting character and celebrity reactions, right? He knows that asking Kermit about the car is going to lead to some like awkward shuffling from Jim,
yep.
and it's going to help bring the conversation to new places about jealousy mm-hmm. and like whether Kermit is a good partner or not and all of these different things. And again, like, look, I love Kermit and Jim Henson is incredible, but like, it truly is like an improv scene where Kermit is refusing to ever say yes. And
that is true. That's true. He's really, his entire like relationship with Miss Piggy in out in public like this, in these improv spots. Yeah. He's really saying no every single time.
Correct. It's, and we'll see it. And honestly, I think at its best, and again, because Jim Henson is deeply talented, mm-hmm. at its best, he is able to wring some laughs out of it. But at its worst, it does kind of feel, like I said, deeply uncomfortable, where it's like...
Where he has to assert his fictionality.
I think really what it comes down to is Jim and Frank were such good comedy partners that Jim knew that if he kind of pulled back with Kermit, that would give Frank more of a chance to shine, right?
Right.
That no one wants to hear Kermit talking about the relationship because Piggy is going to be funnier talking about the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now I want to talk a little bit about the role of the karate chop, because that is part of the storyline which people really seem to love. Like when we're talking about what gets the biggest laughs and the biggest cheers from the audience in this is the end of this interview, because Russell has a couple of insulting questions prepared.
Yes, which does go against what I was saying about Russell being in on the sort of drag act.
He is in on it. He is driving towards a particular kind of resolution that he wants here, and that I believe he is correct, that the audience wants as well.
Correct.
So the first question, he kind of goes back to the pigs in space.
What about the pressures of space on pork? What about the pressures of space on pork?
What about the pressures of fist on flesh?
You can't stand too close, you know. I mean, have to be a little careful.
I have
there.
One thing to say to you finally, Miss Piggy, which is this. Can I just enumerate some of the things you wouldn't do?
You can tell me.
You're a very attractive woman.
Oh yes, it's a curse.
You're a very now very well known woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be safe to say that you are a mature woman.
Yeah, betcha.
And you're obviously very well groomed, and you take great care of yourself, and you coif yourself beautifully and frequently. What went wrong?
At that point, he gets the karate chop that he is so desperately angling for.
Yes, exactly.
There's one thing I should have told you.
What?
This.
I'm sorry about that.
Please.
This is a thing that people love to see, is Miss Piggy getting insulted and then karate chopping someone. It is pivotal to her appeal, and I think that it is interesting as far as the queer kind of drag reading of her, that what's being asserted there is that, like, you can only insult the queer person for so long, and then you will be punished for it.
Well, and again, as you know, as a queer woman,
mm-hmm.
I think we're very used to, and as a woman, I think we're very used to sort of being insulted and kind of like being expected to be nice, right? There's something about like the way that women are kind of raised to be kind of meek and not take up space,
mm-hmm.
and kind of like listen to men and like not make men upset and all of these different things.
Right.
And it's the kind of thing where I think it's always very refreshing,
mm-hmm.
to women in particular, although I know men find Miss Piggy funny too. But, you know, I'm only able to speak
well,
to
I
my
think,
ex-
I think this does kind of speak to me as a queer guy, and kind of what I appreciate in her is exactly the same thing of like,
right. And there
you
is,
you can get pushed only so far.
Correct. And again, there is this expectation of, you know, again, not to speak to your experiences as a queer guy, but like, mm-hmm. these expectations of like, you need to be the good queer,
mm-hmm.
and the sense that it's like, you can't rock the boat too much, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It is okay. It is okay if you do this, but you can't complain, and you can't, you mm-hmm. know, when people call you, you know, slurs, you're just supposed to keep your head held high and keep walking. And we all do that. And we've all been in situations where that has happened to us. But again, in the case of queer people, that's certain. In the case of women, again, that's certain, mm-hmm. whether it's being catcalled, whether it's being, you know, talked down to and being expected to just sort of stay calm and poised about it, right? And Miss Piggy does what we all want to do in that situation. We all fantasize when we are expected to be meek and we are expected to kind of take a step back, Mm-hmm. We all want to karate chop, you know, our boss. We all want to karate chop the creep at the bar. We all want to karate chop, you know.
Yeah. Or like
Republican politicians.
Yes, we do. Oh, we do. In Muppets Take Manhattan, as another kind of similar example, where the workmen are catcalling her as she's spying on Kermit and Jenny. And she doesn't even react to them. She just because she's feeling jealous, she grabs this big pole and starts like banging. And she's clearly very strong and very violent. And the guys all kind of like back off. Like, yeah, that is a fantasy that I think that we have of like, you can only push us so far and then you will see how terrifying we are.
But we're not allowed to do that. And often it isn't like, it literally isn't safe to do that. You know, again, like as a trans woman, I need to be very careful about how I'm perceived.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are inherently afraid of me and inherently expect me to be strong and violent and all of these things.
Right.
And I'm not, because even before I came out, I wasn't particularly strong or violent or angry. Because, I mean, I was always a trans woman. That's how this works. But, like, the whole thing is, like, it isn't safe for me to react with anger. But it is safe for Miss Piggy to react with anger. And she always wins when she reacts with anger. There really isn't a time where, maybe once or twice, if I think about the entire history of the Muppets, where she karate chops and then she gets punished in some way
There are no consequences for Miss Piggy doing this. Yeah, and this is something I think that people clearly really want to see. It's something that people enjoy. And we're going to see that, I think, in every one of these appearances that we're talking about, there is that karate chop moment, because this is the thing kind of even when you leave the Muppet Show, this kind of like insult karate chop dynamic is something that people adore. OK, so moving on to the Royal Variety performance. This is November 27th, 1977. The Muppets are in England. They're currently filming season 2, and the audience has now seen the beginning of season 2.
We are 9 episodes in, I counted.
Oh, excellent. And the Muppets have been, they've been invited to be a part of the Royal Variety Performance, which is an annual variety show that the reigning monarch attends, in this case, Queen Elizabeth II. And the proceeds go to a charity. And this is a big deal for the Muppets, actually. This is for a weird little weekly puppet show. They go and perform a skit for the Queen of England, and then they shake her hand. It reinforces just how popular and beloved they've become in just a year and a half.
Well, and Fozzie kind of comments on that too, right? Where there's like, you know, he's so embarrassed to be there.
No, I'm not ready. Kermit, you don't understand. This is the Palladium. Mm-hmm. I'm a bear. I started out working in caves.
Listen, Fozzie, just completely forget that there's royalty out here.
What?
They're right behind you, but don't turn around.
Holy guacamole! Oh, sweet jumping toads! What do I do? Think fast, Frog. Pro.
They're all dressed up for the occasion, which is adorable. All the male Muppets have little tuxedos on, which is so cute. And Piggy has a new dress, which in season 2, that is kind of new for Piggy. She is just starting to branch out of that silver satin dress.
I was going to say, she had like one outfit season 1. I might be forgetting one thing, but like...
Nope, it was just that satin silver, and she is just starting to expand a little bit in season 2. But in this, she's got a floral print on black with a lavender feather boa. She's going to wear this on the show in season 3.
In a weird way, this like is very much like a mini episode of the show, so much so that the song that they sing, We Got Us, right? Yep. This is the same audio that would later go on one of the Muppet Show albums.
Yes. Yep. This is the end of the Muppet Show 2.
And as soon as they started singing it, I was like, oh, this makes sense, because
that's where it comes from. Yeah. And so they create a, once again, Piggy is the storyline. what's happening is that there's a bunch of characters kind of come up one after the other. They can come on and say funny things, but you can always count on Piggy to have a little plot line for everything that she does. She always brings like a little forward motion to the sketch. Everything becomes more complicated, basically, when Piggy's around. That's one of her gifts. So they're going to do the insult karate chop story again. Kermit's on stage. The other Muppets come in one at a time, and they tell Kermit a pig joke.
None of them are funny.
None of them are funny.
Kermit.
Gonzo.
That's not the way I heard it.
How did you hear it?
Well, look it, I heard it like this. What do you get when you cross a pig with an important English official?
I don't know, Gonzo. What do you get when you cross a pig with an important English official?
The Lord Mayor of London.
The Lord Mayor of London.
Don't get it. So long.
Yes. Very good. Yes.
So Fozzie comes up and Gonzo and Scooter and Floyd. So all of the main puppeteers get to have a little moment where they're telling a joke to Kermit. And then Miss Piggy is on stage.
The expectation is that the audience will know that when Miss Piggy shows up mm-hmm. and sees that people are insulting her, there will be trouble. Because right. She just kind of like ominously looms over the Muppets in the background,
yep.
glaring at them with no lines of dialogue. And you uh-huh. hear people in the audience laughing.
Yeah.
And like, we've already gotten to a point, you know, we were talking about the karate chop and we were talking about the yelling and all of those things. We've already gotten to a point that the audience expects that that will happen, that they yeah. know the bit. And it's remarkable how quickly we got to that point.
Yeah.
Considering, yeah. you know, a year ago we were doing Temptation, the Muppet Glee right. Club. Like,
yeah, this came about very quickly. Actually, they really haven't been on the air that long. It's so funny to think.
9 episodes into season two. She's not even in every episode of season one. She's right. not even in the theme song.
Right. And so she comes out and she confronts Kermit in the most amazing way. She's sort of deploying her femininity in a very threatening way.
Hello, Kermit.
Yes, Miss Piggy.
How is my little Kermit?
Well, I'm fine.
I see my little Kermit is having fun.
Oh, well, yeah, sure, we just,
I'm glad my frog is enjoying himself.
Are you ready to sing our little warm and loving song now, Miss Piggy?
I certainly am, our warm and loving song, yes. Mm-hmm. Could I just ask you a teensy, weensy little question first?
Sure, what's that?
Why are you doing all the dumb pig jokes? Huh?
Having fun, you know.
Kermit.
Yeah.
Kermit, before we sing our song, mm-hmm. could I tell you a joke?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, this is cute. Mm-hmm. What do you get when you cross a frog with a fist?
And she stomps on him, and people love it. That is the thing that makes everyone crack up, and especially Kermit kind of like comes back up, and he's all scrunched and flat. And that ultimately is the thing that just makes the whole sketch work for people.
It's funny. And again, it's what we all wish we could do to people who are telling, you know, again, like in our case, gay jokes and things like that. Like
yep.
we all wish we could stomp. We can't.
And that is the dynamic that is going to be this character's trademark, basically, for the rest of time, that the insult is there just to give her the opportunity to karate chop Kermit. And people are going to be kind of like Russell Hardy did, specifically trying sometimes to insult her, specifically because they want the karate chop. And so let's talk about Happy Birthday, Bob.
And I was very upset when I clicked on this link and the Bob in question wasn't Bob McGrath. I was in a Muppet mindset, a different website, but I was in a Muppet Well, same website. I was in a Muppet mindset, and yes. And I just was like, I guess it's for Bob McGrath. And it wasn't. It was for other Bob.
Yeah, this is Bob Hope, who used to be famous back in the day. Back in May 29th, 1978, he was very famous at the time. It's about 6 months later. Everybody's seen season two. They're currently filming season three, and this is the season three pig puppet. The special is called Happy Birthday, Bob. It's in honor of legendary film and TV comedian Bob Hope on his 75th birthday. And it's a tribute. And the idea behind the special is, you know, essentially Bob Hope is old. He's 75. And we want him to know how much we love him while we still, you know, while he's still here with us. And the funny thing is, he did not die. He had several of these. They kept giving him tributes and he kept on living. They did one for his 80th birthday in 1983. Kermit was on that one. They did another one in 1988. In 1993, they did one called Bob Hope, The First 90 Years. He lived to be 100 years old.
You know, I bet he lived this long because of these birthday
celebrations. Because of
these specials.
I know.
He's like, I gotta keep going. I gotta stay healthy so I can have another
star-spangled
birthday.
So this is really just the beginning of a 25-year-long extended tribute to Bob Hope and how great he is. Do you want to talk about general impression on this appearance?
I liked it. Miss Piggy is so, so horny for Bob Hope.
She really is.
And it's so bizarre because, like, he's a 75-year-old man. And, yes. Like, he looks it.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
he looks like Bob Hope.
He was, I don't know. I can't even say that he was like super handsome when he was younger, but
he
like
was fine. He was fine.
He was fine.
That wasn't what he was famous for.
No, but Miss Piggy is doing these ridiculous nicknames, which are obviously always a thing with her, like Kermie, but like a lot of Bobbies, but also Roberto, which is so funny.
Yeah, Bob Hope isn't, Kermit and Miss Piggy come out. And she immediately starts looking around for Bob Hope. My Roberto, where is that hunk? And he's sitting up in the balcony. This is a tribute to him. He's not on stage. So he's up there with his wife, Dolores. And Miss Piggy says,
oh, wait, where was Bobby? Bobby!
Who?
Bobby, my Bobby Hope, my Roberto. Where is that hunk?
That hunk?
Oh, now, Kermie, don't you be jealous. You see, Bob and I have that special relationship that happens only once between a man and a pig. I'm sorry, Dolores, but the truth had to come out.
Now, that moment, I think, is fairly crucial to understanding how Miss Piggy's comedy works. The fact that she's saying, I'm sorry, Dolores, because this is a joke that no one else could do.
Correct.
You could not have a female TV star come out on stage and even pretend that she is having an affair with Bob Hope to the extent of apologizing to his wife. Like, even if it is just a joke, like, that would make people uncomfortable. It would be a very, very bad thing for somebody to do.
Which is now going to be a runner in the next two appearances that we talk about after this one, where Miss Piggy takes a minute to address the wife.
Yes.
Of the man that she's flirting with. I'm sure we'll get into it
when
we talk about those. But like, that's going to be a runner.
Yeah.
And again, this is what comes from everybody being in on the drag act. Mm-hmm. That this is a parody of femininity.
Mm-hmm.
And this parody allows everybody to be in on the joke and allows Dolores Hope. Is Hope her last name?
I'm sure it was.
Great. Allows old Dolly Hope to be in on the joke.
Yeah.
And like,
well, there's so many different layers of this fictionality. I'm gonna enumerate them.
Can you list them?
I'm gonna tell you. A, she's a pig.
Mm-hmm.
B, she's a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
C, she's a dude. D, he's
kind of weird looking bald dude with
bald
a thick
dude.
Mustache.
D, he's 75. E, she's fictional. And then the thing that I think is so interesting is that, like, even within that fiction, we know that Miss Piggy fantasizes relationships. So that saying that she's having an affair with Bob Hope is like, here's a fictional character who is imagining and pretending that she has a relationship in order to be what, more famous and more adored. So this is Miss Piggy as Trickster, where she is creating an alternate world. This is what tricksters do, is they create this alternate world and sort of spin it out of thin air. And then you invite people to believe in that world and enter into it because it's funnier and more interesting than the real world. And in her early years, like, the world agreed with her and we all went and lived there. And so when she says that she's a superstar, when she says that she's a beautiful model, when she says she belongs on the cover of magazines and calendars, like, everyone agreed with her and went and lived in that space with her. And that was the amazing thing we all did in the 1980s.
The joke is only funny if you say yes and. Right. The joke is,
right. Yeah.
The joke is not funny if Miss Piggy says, I belong on the cover of a magazine, and you say to Miss Piggy, no, you're the coffee pick.
Mm-hmm.
The barbed insult at another Muppet production that you'll talk about one day. If it's like, I should be the star of this TV show. No, you no, should you're get the coffee pig.
Yeah, that is not funny.
That's
movie.
Not funny. You need to say yes.
Right.
The drag act is only funny if during the show, everyone accepts that this is what a beautiful woman is.
Yes. Yeah. So the sketch is very funny. It's Piggy trying to sing My Secret Love to Bob Hope. But Bob's up in the balcony, and so she's singing it to Kermit, and Kermit's kibitzing and telling her she's doing it wrong and how embarrassing it is.
Hi, this is Bob. What am I doing here, Hope? And, but seriously, a funny thing happened on the way to the theater.
Hello, Mr. Hope.
Now, please, Pig, I'm in the middle of my monologue.
Don't push it, Frog.
Sorry.
Oh, Roberto, I have worshipped you from afar, and tonight I worship you from a near.
From a what?
A near.
You worship me from an ear?
Yes, I do.
Folks don't have ears.
I'll worship you in the hospital in a second.
And finally, she gets insulted and she stomps him into the ground, which is the typical insult karate chop moment that is now becoming de rigueur. Next up, let's talk about that Michael Parkinson interview. So it's November 18th, 1978. Michael Parkinson was a legendary interviewer. The show Parkinson, which this clip is from, it was on from 1971 to 1982, and then he had other shows. By the end of his career, he estimated that he'd interviewed more than 2,000 celebrities. And this is actually, structurally, this is really similar to the Russell Hardy interview that was a year earlier that we talked about, where it's Jim and Frank coming on stage, and they bring up Kermit, and they bring up Fozzie, and they do a little routine, and then Piggy comes up. The thing that makes this a little different is that Parkinson takes this further as far as his romantic interest in Piggy is concerned, where he just comes out and straight up says that he is in love with Miss Piggy.
There is so much. So Kermit again says there is no relationship between Miss Piggy and myself. Again, mm-hmm. refusing to yes and.
And some people think that we have a relationship. But I want you to know that is on the screen only, and there's nothing to that. And I wish you wouldn't refer to it anymore, please.
Oh, all right then. Oh,
yes. Well. Yes, because there's really nothing between us. And anything you may have heard about us in hotel rooms or any of that stuff doesn't exist.
Well, then, I mean, you won't mind then, therefore, if I confess to you that I am madly in love with her. I mean, like the rest of the nation, I think she's totally adorable. I think she's the most...
You're in big trouble, then.
Sensational. Why am I in big trouble?
Well, I just, you just wait and see.
All right, well, I'm going to make a special introduction, in fact, to Miss Piggy, because, as I say, I think she's so sensational. I mean, the really most beautiful, beautiful creature that I've ever set eyes on. I really mean it. I am madly, madly, would you welcome Miss Piggy?
He says that Miss Piggy is beautiful and sensational. Miss Piggy comes up. And they instantly go into like a physical relationship. So she comes up and she says, hi, Frog. And then Parkinson just looks into her eyes and he sighs theatrically. And they are staring into each other's eyes from about a centimeter and a half away. And this is a stare that would not be possible for two people to maintain. But because it is Miss Piggy, it is totally okay for Parkinson just to be gazing into her eyes.
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm well. Hi, Frog.
Good evening, Miss Piggy.
You have such deep blue eyes.
Yes, and you have bedroom eyes. Let me see. Well, they're dining room eyes anyway.
I've been dying to meet you.
Well, I'm so taken aback by this meeting. Could I just ask you one deeply personal question?
Of course.
Is that a toupee?
And then along the same lines as the apology to Dolores, she asks, is your wife here? And he says yes, and Pinky just rolls with that straight into another fantasy world.
Michael, is your wife here?
Well, actually, she is, Miss Piggy. She's sitting in the audience.
I see. We're very good friends.
Who are you? You are with my wife?
Mm-hmm. We've talked about you.
Oh.
I know some things about you.
Well, like what?
Your legs.
Legs?
What you have great legs.
He is doing yes and like crazy. He's doing yes and to an insane degree.
Michael, could we possibly? I mean, I don't know how to ask this, but lift him up, kid.
When she says to him, I don't know how to ask this, but lift him up, kid. And he, again, it's that same like dropping of the voice into the masculine.
Yeah.
And again, it's this thing. And like I was saying earlier about like being a trans woman, like there's this fear of being perceived as predatory. Mm-hmm. That is definitely something, and definitely something that, again, a lot of politicians, most of them on the right side of the aisle, are really trying to like foster in today's society.
Yes.
this fear of that. But Miss Piggy is not afraid of that, right?
Right.
Miss Piggy's voice drops into the masculine, right, uh-huh, when she says that, and this is about as predatory as possible, right? Where she's like, lift him up, kid.
Yeah.
Like, out of this context, out of this, that is something you could never say. In this context, you really shouldn't.
Yeah, no, but you still can't. This is a television show.
He rolls up his pant leg.
That is, it's absolutely amazing. You are on TV talking to an interviewer. Imagine any other human or character or anything demanding that Michael Parkinson roll up his pant leg and show her his leg.
And he does. I mean, only a little bit of his leg.
Yeah. Well, you get his knee and then you get his sock.
I'd love to.
Would you?
Yes.
All right. See my legs.
I have never in my life. Those are exquisite.
Would you like to touch them?
Could I?
Yes.
Thank you. You have made a woman pig happy.
Could I in return, could I stroke your hair?
Don't stop there.
It's also worth noting, like, Michael Parkinson is not, like, this isn't like she's on, you know, the Pierce Brosnan talk
right.
show or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, he's not, he's, like, a super sexy, like, the, you know, some guest stars on The Muppet Show.
Yeah, yeah.
He's an ordinary-looking, very nice-looking, but ordinary-looking dude.
And an older man as well, mm-hmm, which is why it's particularly funny that she calls him kid.
Yes.
What's it like being a sex symbol?
Oh, it's a deep responsibility to be a taste setter in fashion, to be a sex symbol and a pig superstar.
Fantastic.
Yes, I feel I can weather up under the storm. I have taste, I have style.
Yes, you have all that.
And I can cut it.
And Parkinson asks, so then this is continuing just the complete inappropriateness of what is happening. He says, you do tend to get a bit aggressive at times.
potentially setting up the karate chop bit.
Yes.
But Frank has other plans. Frank has funnier and also more inappropriate plans, but funnier plans.
You do tend to get a bit aggressive at times, I've noted. I mean, you've got this very...
Well, your wife told me you liked that.
Oh. You really have been talking to her, haven't you?
Your wife told me you like that.
Yeah.
What a line.
It is one of the best things that's ever happened on television. By the end of the sketch, Parkinson and Piggy are cuddled up together. She's just kind of like hanging on his shoulder. Piggy says that Kermit's jealous. And Parkinson says, is he jealous? Well, let's make him a little bit more jealous. Let's sort of get together. And she just kind of like settles on his shoulder. Now, there's another guy, it turns out, who is on the other side of Henson and Kermit, who is a sidekick, I guess. I don't know. Or he's another guest. I have no idea who he is. And he says that there's a little song. He knows a little song about a frog and starts to sing. And it's essentially like Froggy Goes A-Courtin'.
How are you?
She came home at last, wrinkled and but a bitchy hero. She saw old Frog and laughed, wrinkled and but a bitchy hero. But a laugh that pretty soon changed to glee, wrinkled and but a bitchy hero. When he said, Miss Pig, will you marry me? Wrinkled and but a bitchy hero.
Hold one second. No, I'm not going to marry the pig. And you can forget that part of the song about marrying the pig. Particularly tonight.
Oh, were we bothering you?
No, of course not. It doesn't bother me at all.
Cut to Miss Piggy and Parkinson, and they are just in an embrace.
What are they talking about?
I don't know.
They know that the night here is young and pigs and interviewers have things to do?
And they're just making out. And he's about to like say thank you very much. And she says, can I just have a little peck goodbye? And she tries to find a good angle. And there's a little moment. And she says, can you get the nose out of the way? And so they find it. They find the correct position with him kind of Piggy going to the other shoulder. And so the interview ends with Miss Piggy making out with the interviewer.
Yeah.
That is a thing that happens. And it is so beautiful and Parkinson 100% loves this and was hoping that this interview would go in that direction.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, listen, he was setting it up.
Just imagine. Just imagine any other person, any other character. This is what Miss Piggy brings to the universe, is a character who can do something like this that nobody else in the world can do, which is to create new forms of personal expression that make the world better and more interesting.
Where Michael Parkinson gets to, you know, tenderly kiss Frank Oz's hand.
Exactly. And everyone loved it.
I mean, I did.
Yeah, me too. All right. So kind of wrapping this up and thinking about all the things that we have discovered today, Becca, do you think that this version of Miss Piggy has endured? What has endured from this version now?
Okay, so I'm going to interpret your question in two ways, which is going to give me an option to enumerate some of my feelings, or at least list them. So in terms of endured in the sense of like, does this hold up?
Mm-hmm.
I really do think that if I met someone who did not know about Miss Piggy,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to explain to that someone why Miss Piggy was funny.
Yep.
You could do a lot worse than showing the Michael Parkinson clip, the Russell Hardy clip,
yeah,
even the Bob Hope clip, the Royal Variety. This is funny. And this is still funny. And you see Frank Oz's just pure, raw talent.
Mm-hmm.
You see, again, these weird, wonky gender roles that I'm still super interested in. And honestly, I could talk even more about
if we feel like going there.
If we feel like going there.
There is more there.
But, you know, that absolutely endures in the sense of like, this does not feel like dated comedy. This does mm-hmm. not feel cringy or any of the things that we kids are saying these days. Right.
But it should be. That's actually, that's such a good point that really you would think like, this is sexual harassment.
This is sexual harassment.
This is violence. This is like Miss Piggy sexually harassing the people around her. But it does not feel cringy like that. It really does
because it is so clear within the sexual harassment that mm-hmm. everybody is in on the joke. Not to keep hammering this in. That's what we see in all of these clips, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is less sexual harassment and more just like Miss Piggy comes on real strong and stuffy British guys are into it.
They are here for that. I mean, there is something that's very mid-70s specifically about these interviews, just because she's so new, that for both Russell Hardy and Michael Parkinson, they look at her kind of like this breathless appreciation of her as a work of art.
I mean, and it's a gorgeous puppet.
And they're really enjoying just being there, looking straight into her eyes of this terrific puppet and just loving her so much.
But in terms of what has endured in terms of the character of Miss mm-hmm. Piggy,
yeah,
I'm very cynical about the modern state of Miss Piggy. And mm-hmm. I don't, again, Eric Jacobson, wonderful, talented puppeteer. I've been fortunate enough to meet him on several occasions. He's a wonderful guy. Mm-hmm. But
tell me about his Piggy.
I don't think his Piggy is particularly funny. I think his Piggy is mostly mean. And I think that nobody around Miss Piggy likes Miss Piggy anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that is the big difference here.
Mm.
Kermit is uncomfortable around Miss Piggy because he's a bit ashamed to talk about his relationship in public, mm-hmm. but you don't get the sense that Kermit resents that Miss Piggy is there.
Right.
And you certainly don't get the sense that Miss Piggy is being insulted excessively by the celebrity or the interviewer,
mm-hmm.
right? Who is like intentionally making fat jokes or whatever.
Right.
You don't get the sense, you get the sense that Miss Piggy says that she is the most talented, beautiful star in the world and mm-hmm. everybody is in on it. Now with the Muppets, Miss Piggy says that and she's a clown for it. You know, I'm thinking mm-hmm. about Lifestyle on Muppets Now.
Right.
One of the only segments to be in all six episodes of Muppets Now.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Piggy is saying these ludicrous things that are not true.
Mm.
And everybody else is expected to kind of cringe at it and be like, Miss Piggy can't be fit, or Miss Piggy can't be relaxed, or Miss mm-hmm. Piggy can't be, you know, eating healthy. But that isn't what's going on here, mm-hmm. right? That isn't what's going on here. For the 5 minutes of the interview, right, we are in the world where Miss Piggy can be beautiful and yes. can be a sex icon and can be beloved by celebrities and mm-hmm. Bob Hope can have a crush on her and Bob Hope's wife can be okay with it because right. what a beautiful open marriage that they have yeah. for
these 75 year olds. Yeah.
Hall pass Miss Piggy. And it's like that makes it funnier to me and more positive mm-hmm. than when the joke is because it at home, again, like you said about the ABCDE list earlier that I'm still thinking about, where it's like, right. A, you know, it's a fictional character. We get the joke. We know right. it's Frank Oz. Mm-hmm. We know that Frank Oz is a kind of weird looking man who sounds like Bert as his normal speaking voice. Right. But we for these 10 minutes, we love Miss Piggy and we right. think that she is sexy and funny mm-hmm. and that any man would do anything to be with her. We know that it's funny that we think that.
Right, exactly. That we're it's these levels of fiction that are kind of rubbing together, and that's what's funny about it.
We know that it's funny. But in the sort of modern, like, lifestyle Piggy mm-hmm. that I'm thinking about and I'm comparing this to, and granted,
right.
Muppets Now was notably worse than a lot of the other Muppet stuff yes. that's come out lately.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is not the,
but that is
the
maybe,
show that we would want. But yeah.
Yeah, but, like, in that, the joke is literally, like, there is no middle ground of like, well, right now Miss Piggy can be beautiful, but we know that she's actually a pig. The joke just jumps straight from, I see Miss Piggy doing something. I know that she's a pig, so it's funny. There is no middle ground of us meeting her halfway saying,
like in the 2015 Muppets show, where nobody can like her.
Correct. And I hate that too.
Yeah.
And again, there is no meeting her halfway. I know that I would not like Miss Piggy if she and I were hanging out. Right? Like, Miss Piggy is not the type of person who I want to hang out with.
If she was a friend. Yeah.
But for the minutes that she's on screen, mm-hmm. I am, like you said, brought into her world.
Right.
Where in her world, I do think that she's a glamorous sex icon and, mm-hmm. you know, and I want to show her my legs. And I'm glad that she's talked to my spouse about the things that I like.
Right.
But on Muppets 2015 or Muppets Now, mm-hmm. there isn't that, like, phase of being in her world.
Right.
It's just it's laughable that Miss Piggy is unlikable or fat or
right.
loud or mm-hmm. pushy. There's no sense of like, but imagine you were in a world where that was actually the most charming thing possible.
Right.
There's no sense of that. And I think that requires, again, everybody else to be saying yes and to mm-hmm. Miss Piggy, except maybe Kermit. I think Kermit can get away without saying yes and. I think Floyd obviously doesn't, but I think everybody else, I think all of the humans, mm-hmm. I think all of the, you know, background Muppets or whatever need to be saying yes. Right now, Miss Piggy is the sexiest, most wonderful person around.
The place where I think that has that sort of thread of Miss Piggy has survived is the high fashion stuff that she's been doing since around like 2008, where she's wearing like Marc Jacobs clothes.
Yeah,
and there isn't... fashion designers definitely still treat her as if she is the most glamorous pig, and they are thrilled to design for her.
So what you're saying, and if I can just extrapolate a little mm-hmm. bit, what you're saying is that gay people need to be more involved in what's going on with Miss
yes.
Piggy.
Yes, that is exactly
because I'm just extrapolating.
No, you
from
are
what
absolutely
you're saying.
You are absolutely correct. I am saying that queer people understand Miss Piggy on a very deep level and need to be more involved. I completely agree. Becca, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been fantastic.
Thank you, Danny. What a delight. I'm so glad we got to talk about this stuff. I'm so glad that I got to go deep on gender theory and comedy theory and all of these different things with you. These are my favorite things to talk about. I'm so glad.
Just exactly what I wanted to hear from you. So yeah, fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Where can people find you and your work?
Well, it's a little confusing now because the internet's a shambling corpse.
Right.
The best place you can find me is on Tough Pigs, where I do write articles and I podcast. Hubbawa is either finishing its third season or has finished or will have finished or will be finishing or soon will be finishing, depending on when this comes out. But
one of those options.
We had a 5-episode season 3, and then I took a mid-season hiatus to get married. And now I am preparing when we're recording this, I'm preparing the great comeback. We got some fun, weird stuff coming up in the second half of the season. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. I'm on social media, not as much as I used to be, because again, social media is a shambling corpse.
Yep.
But on Twitter. I am at Uncle Petunio. So that's Uncle. And then Petunio is like the flower, but with an O instead of an A. Mm-hmm. And then I'm on literally every other social media platform that isn't Twitter at Tall Girl Petunia, all one word. And that time the flower is spelled correctly.
Right. All right, kissy kissy. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Fantastic Miss Piggy podcast. If you have comments or questions, or you know stuff about Miss Piggy that you would like to share, you can write to me at fantasticmisspiggy@gmail.com. That is fantasticmisspiggy@gmail. I'm on Twitter at fantasticmissp, or on Blue Sky at dannyhorn.bsky.social. All right. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you next time.
Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell, baby. Diamond bracelets Woolworth doesn't sell, baby. Till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything but love.